Ron Ananian.
One of the first things I teach mechanics when I was training mechanics back in the beginning was, when you get in a customer's car, touch as little as possible. Turn it on, start it up, put it in gear, shut up, and drive.
All I wanted was a car.
The Car Doctor.
I've ordered you a cardboard cutout of me. You can stand here during the show when we're not sitting here in the studio together.
Oh, I like that. A dartboard.
But it was worth it to have me staring at you.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
I wonder how interested or interesting it would be if I talked about maybe the first job of the week and the last job of the week. I was thinking, you know, as I'm working on cars during the course of the week at the shop, that, you know, what's of interest? What are they really looking for? And I said, you know, maybe it's just the day-to-day stuff. Maybe it's the everyday, here's what I do and how I do it kind of a thing. And how can I explain that? And I said, maybe it's the difference of, because I've noticed this, you know, how the week starts is usually not how the week ends. It's the car that you're working on is so different in the beginning than it is at the end. And I happened to look at it this week. This week, my first job of the week was an 03 Honda Civic. The driver's side axle had snapped. And it was a very straight nut and bolt mechanical kind of repair that happened because, if you notice from the factory, Honda puts a rubber torsional vibration dampener on the axle. It's a chunk of rubber bolted to the axle. And what happens over time is moisture gets trapped under there. And as the car gets older, it's an 03, so the car is 17 going on 18 years old. 18 winters in North Jersey with, you know, all the crud that we pour on the road to try and clean up the snow so everybody in their all-wheel drive vehicles can get out to go to Starbucks to get coffee, causes things to rust and rot. Well, eventually it got to the point where underneath this rubber dampener, the axle snapped and it just broke the axle clean in half. And it was just straight nuts and bolts, disabled the car, stopped it on the side of the road, and, you know, we had to put an axle in it. And then I looked at the last job of the week. The last job of the week was all maintenance. It was a 2014 Chevy Silverado that needed four tires, an oil change, coolant service, brake flush, fuel system service, the third brake light bulb was out, and a state inspection. And I thought, is that different or isn't it? And I said, well, it is different in the sense that, you know, this is maintenance, this is repair. This is old, this is new. And, you know, I don't know. It just, maybe this is boring. I don't know. I just figured I'd mention it. I mean, the really neat job of the week that maybe I'll talk about next week because I haven't finished it yet is, and I know his ears are going to perk up, is Eddie's bumper on his Silverado. We're installing what I call the cow catcher of bumpers. It's for when you're out in the middle of Pennsylvania and you're trying to save the truck when the deer lumbers out into the middle of the road. And we're installing this hammerhead bumper on the front of a 15 Silverado that has 1, 2, 3, 4, I think we counted, I think 8 fog and array lights that it'll probably look like Shea Stadium when we're done. So we haven't finished that yet. So technically that job is not finished, but I can't wait to see how well. As a matter of fact, you know, if you're in the Northeast this week and you're out late at night, I might go to the shop around midnight and start it up and turn the lights on once we get them wired. And maybe we'll put like the bat signal up in the sky. You can, you know, kind of see as we tilt Eddie's bumper up to the clouds, because I'm sure this thing will display a sign. We could probably hit the space station with the lights on the front of this Silverado. It's going to be so bright, but maybe we'll talk about that next week. Let's wait till we get there. Anyway, this is The Car Doctor. I am Ron Ananian. The phone number is 855-560-9900. That phone number is 24/7. You can call at any time, day or night. We are live on the network Saturdays, 2 to 4 p.m. East Coast time. But you can call that number, 855-560-9900, anytime, day or night. Leave a message if we're not here. And Tom Ray, my executive producer, confidant, consigliere, and all-around good guy, and the manager of the electrons that power my microphone, will call you back and get you in the queue for the next live broadcast. Let us go west to as far west as we can possibly go. Walter, if you ever move from Hawaii, it's going to be very boring whenever you come on the air. Oh.
If I ever move from Hawaii, you'll have to check and see if an alien took my body over.
Oh. Well, if he does, and you're up flying around in space, I'm sure you'll call me up and want to know how the warp drive is supposed to work. So that'll be the next question.
Yes, I will. You can count on it.
I'm counting on it. So what's going on out there?
The
How's
other
things
thing
your
is,
way?
Will that signal be in the western sky from Hawaii?
It depends on where the planets and the stars align. But I'm telling you, I can't wait to see what this thing looks like. It's the regular headlights from the factory. And 8 square LED lamps, and then there's an array light in the bottom of the bumper. I'm not sure what Ed's trying to see, but you talk about clear vision. Streetlights are going to...
You're going to confuse all the nocturnal animals.
Well, streetlights are going to go out when he comes down the road. I just think that, if the streetlights are on night timers, all of a sudden you're going to see, if you're watching from space, you're going to see this white light moving down Interstate 80, and all the streetlights are going to go boop, 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 all going to go out. They're going to be like power failure
that.
In the Northeast. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. So what are you working on this week? What are you trying to break?
Well, I sent you an email. I replaced the radiator on a 2005 new Beetle Volkswagen.
Wasn't that fun?
And my question was, what does the book, the magic flat rate book, give us a time to do that on? And I was embarrassed to say how long it took me to do it.
5.8 hours.
Okay, well.
I looked it up for you.
I set a record then.
Yeah.
You know that there's 35 nuts or 35 bolts and screws.
Yeah.
To get to it, there's at least 4 hose connections, which are those Volkswagen hose connections, which have to be thrown away once you get them off, after you get them off. And there's several electrical connectors. That's
right.
Just to get to the radiator.
Right. You had to take the bumper bracket, the whole support system off, right?
The whole
fixture.
Front clip comes off.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The impact bumper part has to come off. There's two cowlings that come off, a fan cowling and a support bracket of some sort. All that's just to get to the radiator.
Right. And let me ask you this, Walt, and I know, and for everyone else, Walter really is a great guy. I kid him a lot, but I've come to love him over the years because he's out there. You're doing this for free or next to free just to try to help people, right, Walt?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That way they can't tell me. I can tell them they get what they pay for.
Hey, listen, never downplay what you're doing. You're trying to make society a better place, and I commend you for it. I really do.
Thank you.
I think about things like that, though, Walt, because by the book, that's a six-hour job. I'm sure it took you every bit of 3 or 4. Right?
Oh, at least.
Right.
Was just to get reading the internet and the manual on it.
So in a repair shop, right, and you have to, your research time has to be worth something. But in a repair shop, that's easily $500 in labor plus a part. The radiator has to be $250 plus coolant.
Sure.
The Volkswagen coolant is that special super pink, whatever.
Yeah, the G12.
Yeah,
I used.
So all of a sudden, it's an $800-$900 job to put a radiator in a car.
Yeah. What's up with that? And you're not even counting the hoses and the clamps.
Okay, so it's $1,000.
Probably.
And I say to myself, one, who can afford to put $1,000 into a car that's 15 years old? How many miles were on it, Walter?
It's low mileage. It's only got 74,000
on it. Okay. But who's going to put $1,000 into a 15-year-old, 70,000-mile car? Because usually around here, the conversation is, what if something else breaks? Because people don't budget for it. And that's a mistake. And then you get to play the game of what if. What if the trans breaks? What if this breaks? What if that breaks? And the sad part is, it was probably cheaper to put a radiator in that and keep it going than it is to replace it over the long haul based on, what else that car has had done to it, what it might need. People, for some reason, don't want to do maintenance to a car. As tough as that job is, right?
You could not get a as reliable car for the same amount of money,
right,
even if you don't like Volkswagens.
Right. And right now, I have to tell you and everyone else, it seems that good used, good clean used cars right now are at a premium. I think prior to the coronavirus pandemic starting, the number I had in my head was $15,000 to $18,000 for something certified pre-owned. 20, 25,000 miles on it from the likes of Ford, Toyota, Honda. Now I think that number is in the low 20s. I think that number is 20 to 24,000 for that same vehicle because the demand has gone up because nobody wants to buy a new car. I don't know of too many people that are rushing out to spend $50,000 or $60,000 right now on a big older car or a big newer car.
Those cars you mentioned are not the ones I get to work on because they work well.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, somehow you always get yourself into, you know, I always know it's Walter. You could probably not tell me who it is. And if the opening line reads, I've got an 03 Isuzu Trooper, I'd go, yeah, it's Walter. You know, it's just
yep,
something.
Had to be me.
Yeah, it's just something weird that he's got in over his head, and I've got to get him out of it. So, well, listen,
yeah.
as
this radiator really really annoyed me that, you know, I've changed maybe four or five radiators, you know, more than one, let's say for sure. You know, four or five bolts, you take the old one out. Four or five bolts, you put the new one in. You fill it with coolant, burp it, and go about your business. It shouldn't be days.
Right,
and I'd like to watch the guy do it in 6 hours.
Right, yeah, I'd like to watch the guy do it in 6 hours and not break all the plastic clips and all the other things that are going to fall apart on the 15-year-old.
Absolutely, you have to have a tray full of them because you know they're going to break.
But Walter, stupidity runs in all levels in the automotive manufacturing world. So go pop the hood of a 14 Chevy Silverado. I should have mentioned this when I was talking about my last job of the week. I serviced this 14 Silverado, last vehicle. You ever go to check the oil on a 14 Silverado?
No, I haven't.
I defy anybody to reach that dipstick without using a step stool. Now, the trans dipstick comes up nice. The engine oil dipstick is so far back in the engine compartment, you're leaning over two-thirds of the engine compartment on a stool in order to get to it. I'm like, you know, I said to myself, could GM have spent another 20 cents a vehicle, lengthened the dipstick just a little bit more so we could actually check the oil on a regular basis? Oh, Lord, don't get me started. Walter, I got to take a break.
Have you ever changed the headlights on a Beetle, the new Beetle?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me pull over, take a pause, and we'll come back and we'll chat some more. I always enjoy this. I'm Ron Anini, the Car Doctor, and Walter, you're listening to the Ron and Walt Hour of the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this.
Whether it's a little red Corvette or a Yugo, you've come to the right place to get that car fixed. Ron Anani and the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, Walter, are you still there?
I'm still here.
So you were saying about headlights?
Yeah, have you ever changed the headlights on one of these new Beetles?
Yeah, where you got to take the fender off?
Yeah, and there's a latch that has to slide down to take the headlight out.
Right, and it's always
that
kind of...
That latch is about a 4-inch piece of plastic rubbing against another piece of plastic.
Yeah.
Why didn't they put a little piece of Teflon or some felt or anything? Because, you know, after 15 years, that headlight, you're going to end up breaking that plastic to get the light out.
Right, and the key word there is, the key operative there is what? Breaking. And when we break something, what do we need to do? We need to buy a new one of that widget or whatever it is. You know, Walter.
Yeah, and guess where there's no new ones.
Right. Well, yeah, Hawaii. You know, Henry Ford, and I believe this to be a true quote in some form, but Henry Ford at one point said he would give you the car for free back when the Model T came because he said, or was it the A? The A or the T? I always get mixed up which came first. But it was, he'd give you the car for free because he knew at some point, in his words, the parts would fall off it so fast, you need a wheelbarrow behind it to pick them up. And he wanted to just sell you the replacement parts. You know, someone once told me, and I don't know if this is still true, but Hewlett-Packard, HP, doesn't make money selling the printers. They make money selling the toner cartridges. And
I heard the exact same thing. And I believe the Henry Ford quote. I mean, I've never heard him say that. But
yeah.
That was a little before my time, but not much.
I don't think you would have heard him at this point, Walter. He's dead.
If you
did hear him, then we're going to have you call a different show that's on from midnight till 4 in the morning. They look at different things.
I got one more quick thing, and then you can help somebody instead of wasting your time with me.
Go ahead, brother.
I misquoted the amount of bolts. I forgot you had to take the both tires off and the inner fenders off, so it was really 59 bolts, not 35,
right,
to take the radiator out.
Well, and, you know, and it's never a waste talking to you, Walter. What I come down to is, you know, where we're headed— I think, is you look at the complexity of the repair on the 05 car, on the 10 car, on the 15 car. You know, I have friends that are working in dealerships, and some of the car companies, German cars at the top of the list, they think nothing of there's a problem in a wiring harness. They will gut the entire nose of, I mean, fenders, engine, wiring harness out, you know, a thousand pieces spread out over the guy's bay. You know, it's crazy. And what will that take in the future? You know, what will it take in the future to fix that car? I read an interesting article, and I've been hearing this, and I keep trying to follow up on it. I don't know that we're going to continue to buy cars for the long term. I don't even know that we're going to lease them. We are going to subscribe to a car. Think about this. You're going to subscribe to buy whatever it is you like. And if there's a software update, you're going to get it for free. If the car needs repair, it's going to be done up to a certain point, and then they will just scrap the car. And the car will become completely disposable. But I often wonder, what does that do for the lower income families? Will they be able to afford? Will there be a $200 a month car, a $300 a month car? Can a lower income family afford a $300 a month car? And I say no. Does the world?
Yeah, well, I think you're way off at 300. I think it's more be more like 2,000.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think in today's dollars, Walter, and you're probably right.
Yeah.
But you know, is the future at some point, and we have to realize, you know, wherever the country goes, the automobile has to be a part of that future. You know, someone asked me the other day, what's the whole point of self-driving cars? They don't see the point. And I said, the answer to me is simple. The answer for a self-driving car is logical. It's not for people that can drive. It's not to make us lazy or sheep, although there's a little George Orwell in that. You know, you think about that. But I think the self-driving car is there because, Mom, it's time for you to go to the doctor. You tell the car, take the car to, you know, 12 Main Street. You call the doctor's office. Mrs. Smith will be arriving and in 13 minutes. Could you have somebody walk to the curb and help her get in the door? And then the car comes home. And then they call an hour later. Mrs. Smith is ready to be picked up. And we send the car back. I could see
that. And, you know,
that.
I'm 75 years old, so that makes sense to me.
Right. That makes sense. That, to me, is a – or, you know, the 16-year-old, you know, youngster that can't get to the doctor's office for whatever reason. You know, they've got
to – They shouldn't be driving anyway.
Well, that's – but you get the point.
That's another story.
Yeah, that's another story. But, you know, it's –
I've got grandchildren coming up to be that age.
Yeah, I know. It's Walter, it's amazing where the time goes. Let me pull over, Walter. As always, sir, you stay safe Hawaii way. And really, seriously, thanks for all you do. You're trying to help make the world a better place, and we're grateful for it.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Aloha.
You too. Good energy, brother. You take good care. I'm Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Car Doctor. Let's get over to Andrew in Pennsylvania, 03 Chevy Silverado. Andrew, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Yeah, how you doing, Andy?
Good. What's going on?
I got an 03 Silverado. It's a crew cab, one ton.
Okay.
Full-size bed on it. I got the 6.6 diesel in there. And I was having a bunch of dash lights came on and went into limp mode and I just replaced the fenders and the rocker panels and cab corners and the front bumper just because of all the rust up here.
Okay.
And now when it's raining, I'm fine. But when it quits raining and my truck gets dry, it kicks the transmission into limp mode. And a little light underneath the indicator for the gears goes out.
Okay, so is it just that it goes into limp mode? Does it get a check engine light?
No check engine light, just puts the light out underneath the indicator.
Okay. Have you scanned it for fault codes?
No, I haven't. Last two times I jumped in the truck, everything was working, and it's like chasing a ghost here.
Right. So, do you have a scan tool?
No, I don't.
Okay. So, let me... Where my mind goes when I get into one of these, and I should also point out this is an 03. The 03s, the early ones, the 2s, the 3s, and even some of the late, even some of the early 4s, had issues with the wiring harness coming out of the firewall on the driver's side, just about in the area where you were doing the fenders and the and the liners and all that. And it's it's nothing you did. It's that the harnesses themselves, you know, I think they got brittle. Something happened to the wiring in those harnesses. They weren't manufactured properly. It's funny. Andrew, I had this conversation with someone on Wednesday at the shop. I mean, it was, and he lives locally, so I know it's not you. All right, it was like the exact same phone call, and I told him to do what I'm going to tell you to do, is go find the harness where it comes up out of the firewall. And just, have you manipulated the harness? Have you tried, you know, gentle, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, trying to massage the harness to, and you got to be, you know, you got to have a soft touch. You got to sort of, you know, like you're gently kneading dough, just trying to get it to act up. Does anything make a change? Because something's getting wet, and it may be related to what you did, and it may not be related to what you did. If you had a scan tool, I would love to see, can you communicate with certain modules, and what if any fault codes exist in the system but have not yet turned on the check engine light? This should be a controlled area network, communication problem. And I'm wondering if, you know, we've got any problems on the data line. This should be a class 2 data line. And I'm wondering, do we have any faults? Can we talk to everything? You ever, and I always use this analogy, you ever have a bad phone in the house back in the day where one phone would make the entire house not work, where you wouldn't have any phones?
Yeah.
Same thing, smaller version. So if you've got one module that's acting up and you're not aware which one it is, you're chasing your tail, because it can do everything you're describing and pull everything on that data line down.
Yeah, well, when it first started, I had ABS light, emergency brake light on, check engine light, all kinds of stuff, and I replaced all the grounds on the firewall. Went through, I cleaned the grounds on the core support under the driver's door.
Right, there's 4 or 5 gang there of grounds. And all that's great, but... Until you know, the reason you're seeing so many lights is likely because all those modules are reporting a failure or loss of communication with the other modules on the bus. So until you look at this with a scanner to see who's aching, somebody's got a sore throat. You just don't know who. So now you got it. You're either going to just shoot from the hip and guess, or you're going to try and pin it down.
Right, I'm going to have to pin it down. Like I was saying, I got rid of all the lights except for the one for the indicator on the shifter.
Okay.
Now I don't have it. You know, I'll go out there now because it's raining, and I'll turn the key on, and everything will work fine. So when it gets wet, it works.
Is the truck? But the truck's not moving.
No, the truck's not moving.
So something's exposed to water or moisture. That's creating, that's I think after it stops raining, it soaks in, and that's when the issue occurs. I would think more in terms of a water soak than moisture preventing the problem from happening. The front end's all put back together, right? All the fenders, all the sheet metal? Yeah. Okay. So everything is back where you found it?
Everything's right exactly where I took it from.
And you did have to move some of the wiring harness around, right?
Oh, yeah. I had to pull the whole fuse box off the fender.
When you lift the When you lift the hood up after it rains, is anything under the hood wet?
No, it's dry.
Okay. So we've got to go on the assumption that it's got something to do with moisture seeping in somewhere that you can't see. Until you know which module is kicking out, you're guessing. And there's nothing I can say to you that I can tell you. You know, there's no way around it. You know, it would be, in essence, just like when you call the phone company and they say, go around and start disconnecting phones and let us know when the dial tone comes back. But I can't do that. I can't have you take every module and disconnect it. And in some cases, some of the early Class 2 systems, some of the modules were in series. They weren't in parallel where you'd disconnect it and you'd lose the back half of the leg, so to speak. So you know, it's like I tell everybody, being a mechanic isn't always easy and you have to buy tools. There's no getting away from it.
Yeah, I've been playing around with cars for probably 50 years, but this one, you know, I thought it was possibly just a ground that was bad somewhere because it would make the connection when it rained.
Right. Yeah, no. Scan tool time. Go buy a scan tool. You need to buy yourself something. It's been a while.
Well, I don't know how long I'm going to be around to keep using it, though.
No, yeah, but you know what? It's proven that if you buy a scan tool, it will help you stick around longer because it keeps your brain active. Look at me.
I hear you.
Oh. All right, sir.
Well, I appreciate your time and effort here.
You're welcome, Andrew. I wish I could do more for you, brother. You stay well.
Well, I will see where that is at. I know somebody down the road here that has a scan tool that I may be able to borrow.
Yep. You know, and you don't want to go in under OBD2. You want to go in under look under manufacturer. You want to look, you know, what modules are reporting and whatnot. Think of being a teacher taking attendance. Who's here and who's not? And that's what you want to know.
All right. Sounds good to me. I thank you for your time, Ron.
You're welcome, Andrew. You stay well. We'll be rooting for you. You know, it's tough. Sooner or later, this show is going to open up with, if you own a scan tool, you know, call in. If not, go buy one and then call in. You know, that day is coming because, you know, it's we're going to have to all get away, and we all do it. I do it. You know, it seems like, feels like, sounds like, I think. No, it's, you know what? It's the scan tool told me this. The scan tool told me everybody's here, so now I know what's good. Now I got to go figure out what's bad. And that's
scan tool.
Oh, God, whatever happened to him. So let me pull over before Tom starts playing I'm not sure. Tom has something else in his arsenal I probably don't want to hear. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Welcome back. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor. You know, we're talking an awful lot about batteries, desulfators, ways to prolong battery life. And I want to just put this out there that we haven't mentioned it yet. But you can get out to Clarios.com, Clarios.com. You know, Clarios is, their technology powers 1 in 3 cars in the world right now. And, you know, think about that. That's a staggering number of vehicles. And the technology that's involved. And Clarios is continuing to develop various things, clean carbon footprint, better battery reliability, stronger batteries. You know, batteries are changing as the demand changes, right? Cars are changing, more and more technology in cars. So the idea of battery desulfators, I think, is old school. I don't know that it applies, but you can read there's an awful lot of information at their website, Clarios.com. You can get into their news about what they're trying to do and how they're, you know, trying to, you know, keep up with the demands for batteries. Some really good stuff out there, Clarios.com. You'll enjoy it. So by all means, get out there and take a look. I also want to mention, you know, I really like what Walter's doing. I want to go back and talk about Walter for a second out in Hawaii. You know, we've all come to know Walter over the years. He's called in time and time again. And what Walter's doing is a real positive. He's helping make the world a better place. He's retired now. He's working on cars for free. He's just trying to help people. And I think that's what we as a collective society need to start thinking about. I was on my way home 2 weeks ago. And I don't think I told you guys this story yet. And coming around the bend down the street from the deli I always go to, there was a woman with a flat. and she was trying to put air in the tire. She had an inflator. She was out on the side of the road trying to put air in the tire. And, you know, it dawned on me that if you see somebody changing a flat, male or female, whatever, you know, the reason they're trying to do it is because they have no one to call. They either don't have the means to call, they don't have the ability to call in terms of, you know, maybe they don't have AAA, et cetera, or they have no cell phone, or there's nobody home. I stopped. I was very cautious. I said, can I help? I always ask permission. I don't want to scare anybody. And, you know, we inflated the tire. She had a little inflator. I figured out how the inflator worked and zip on their way. And I'm not looking for any accolades. And yes, it was, you know, it was broad daylight. The situation looked okay. It looked normal. There was no cars buzzing by at 80 on the interstate. And there was no danger to me or her. But I just didn't want to leave anybody stranded. And that's kind of Walter's attitude. You know, Walter's just trying to help people. And I think how we treat people and how we treat each other is going to go a long way towards, you know, how we all survive what's going on in the world. And, you know, how the world comes back. And, you know, also cars are a big part of that. You know, you can tell a lot about people by the way they handle their cars and by the way they approach maintaining their cars. I'll tell you a quick story and then I'm going to pull over. I was working on the 14 Silverado. I was finishing up the coolant flush out in front of the shop yesterday. And I was under the hood on the step ladder trying to work on this truck. And somebody pulls in past the sign that says stop, do not enter. So right away, I know the person can't read. And, hey, buddy, now I'm a buddy. How much is an oil change? And I kind of looked up, and there was three guys in a Honda. And I said, excuse me? He says, how much is an oil change? I need an oil change. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it right now. We're really quite busy, and I probably couldn't do it until the middle of next week. Yeah, but how much is an oil change, buddy? You know, there's a few things that get under my skin. And this is one of them, that there's no respect. There's no, you know, how do you enter a business? How do you acknowledge? We're not there at your beck and call. We're there to provide a service for customers. Do you want to become one? Show a little respect when you walk in the door. I looked at him and I said, you know, if you have to ask, you probably can't afford it. And maybe that was the wrong thing to say. Maybe it wasn't, because it kind of set the tone and pushed him back a little bit. It created a boundary. And he said, no, really, how much is an oil change? Probably $100 to $125. And he looked at me and he said, why? And I said, you know, I just don't have the time to answer this right now. But if you want to come back during the week, I'll be glad to go over it with you. He pulled out. You know, the fact is, how we approach a business is a reflection of who we are and what we are. And as a business, if you learn to recognize it, you'll have less aggravation and you'll be able to take care of those that really value your service. And I find that's a lot true in automobiles and that's a lot true in our relationships with people. Something to think about. Look at all cars can do, whether you realize it or not. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, coming back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. We'll close things out with a little Facebook review. You know, I love this, that we've now got it up on Facebook. You can go to the Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor Facebook page, and everybody's chiming in as we roll along. Steve writes in, hey, Ron, great show. Bob came up with some great points here. He says, Ron, you should have asked him. I think he's referencing the gentleman that pulled in to find out about an oil change. You should have asked him, which oil do you want to change, trans oil or engine oil? You know, Bob, I never thought of that, but you make an excellent point. And, you know, part of that is, you know, part of the reason for the rant isn't just what I feel is an insult to the industry and to businesses in general is, he's doing himself a disservice. You're doing yourself a disservice by not allowing proper introduction. What do you do? How do you do it? You know, if we walk in and we base everything on price in anything we do, we usually miss out on what that business is all about, because any business that's all about price usually doesn't survive. You can't be the cheapest guy on the block and survive and thrive. Helen writes in with a bunch of things. Helen, I love hearing from you. No need to apologize. Her last one is starting to keep posting, but this has been an excellent show, and I thank you. Helen, I thank you for your due diligence and perseverance and writing in and all the stories you tell us all the time. We think it's great stuff. We love reading your comments. And in response to the one I made about technology, Helen wrote in, and I agree with her 100%. I'm very wary of eventually getting a car that forces me to take my eyes off the road due to looking at various electronic devices. I think it's true. Whatever happened to buttons that you could touch that you knew in the dark you could find that button and feel it. Now you're against a flat screen panel board that, you know, in the dark you're taking your eyes off the road for a second to feel where it's not there. Am I touching the right button? So, you know, yeah, it's going to get more complicated. Evan's writing in, my three tool dealers are doing very well in Pennsylvania. I'm glad to hear it, Evan, and I hope they're around for a long, long time to come, as well as you, my friend. I'm Ron Ananian, and the Car Doctor, looking up saying, wow, where did the last 2 hours go? It's been a wild weekend with you, and I'm glad to have been here for you each time, every time, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.